When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was the evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened."
Hi friends, I'm John. I'm one of the student ministers here. Please join me as I pray for tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can speak to you, and it's such a great privilege to be able to be in relationship with you. We thank you that we can speak to you because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, did on the cross, that he took away our sins so that we can come before you in prayer. Father, as we look at prayer tonight, please help us to hear what you have to say from your word and let that change our lives. And it's in your Son's most precious name that we pray. Amen. I want to share with you that I'm a skeptic. I'm a skeptic when it comes to infomercials. Now, every time I see those things, I think, yeah, right, as if they really work. I mean, does the ShamWow really hold 12 times its weight in liquid? Does the Thin Lizzy powder really replace six other makeup products in one convenient compact? You know, does the Ab Circle Pro really transform your abs into your flab into abs in 3 minutes of a workout every day? You know, they work so hard to make these things work, to sell them to you. They show you the before and after shots. They tell you how great their product is. Do you get convinced, like my dad so often does, that these things work? Or are you a skeptic like me? What about prayer? What about speaking to God? Do you believe that prayer works? Just in tonight's service, we've prayed a number of times. Now, every time you said amen, do you believe that God will answer? Do you think that when you speak to God, it really works, that prayer really can make a difference? Now, I have to admit that prayer isn't something that comes naturally to me. And I reckon most of us here probably have or still do struggle with a healthy, regular prayer life. So what's holding us back? Why is it that we don't pray much? Is it because we don't think our prayers work? That we're kind of praying to thin air? That our prayers kind of bounce off the ceiling? Are we a skeptic when it comes to prayer? Can prayer really make a difference? For the Bible is very clear that God is sovereign, that he's in control of everything. Jesus, God's own son, spoke about it in Matthew 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Jesus is saying here that even a bird falling to the ground is part of God's will, part of his plan. He determines everything. Nothing happens that's out of his control. He is all-powerful. So, because God's got it all worked out, what's the point of praying? Well, let's look at Exodus 32, the Bible passage that Tom read out to us. To quickly summarize the first 10 verses that Tom read, God had told Moses that he was going to wipe out the nation because they had turned from him and started to worship an idol, a golden calf. And so let's look at the last couple of verses from verse 11. This is Moses' response to the Lord our God. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. O Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with a great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the skies, stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. What a prayer. Moses asked God to not destroy his people, and God doesn't. Here we see a prayer that makes a difference. But did you notice how Moses prayed? He appealed to God on two accounts. If we just flick back to the 11 to 12. Firstly, in verses 11 and 12, he appeals to the honor and glory of his God's name. I mean, what type of God would kind of miraculously save a nation only for them to die in the wilderness a few months later? No, Moses didn't want God's name to be smeared with such a reputation. So he asked God to spare them so that God's name would be glorified and honored. And secondly, in verse 13, the next one, he appealed to the character of God. Moses knew that God was a God who kept his word. So he asked God to remember the promises he made Abraham. Moses wanted to uphold God's character. So Moses prayed. Why? Because he wanted the people to be saved. But more importantly, because he wanted God's name to be glorified. Moses' prayer made a difference. And God was glorified as a result. He was shown to be merciful and faithful to his word, and he answered Moses' prayer. You see, God's plans were fulfilled, and Moses got to take part in that happening. That's what prayer does. We get to share in God's unfolding plans with the end result that God is glorified. Whether God answers our prayers with a yes, a no, or a not yet, the outcome of his answer is always that he is glorified, even when the situation looks bad to us. Do you see how the Bible shows us that on one hand, God has determined everything, but on the other hand, at the same time, our prayers make a difference. They both work together. You see, God's got a plan, but he wants us to pray so we can be part of that plan. And as we saw in Moses' prayer and last month when Ray spoke on magnification, in the end, it's not about us. It's all about God. It's all about God's glory. That's the end result. I'm reminded of a story that Michael Santos, who's leading the service tonight, he told me once. It was when he was in Germany. And one time he was running late for church because he had to catch two buses. And so he skipped breakfast and went straight onto the bus. And when he got to church, he sat down and it happened to be sitting next to a lady who was new to church. Anyway, they got chatting and as they were talking, she asked him if he was hungry. And he said, yeah, I'm hungry. And do you know what happened next? She pulled out a hot potato from a handbag. I mean, who has hot potatoes in their handbags? You see, God's got a plan, but he wants us to pray so we can be part of that plan. See, God could have given Santos some food without him praying, but instead he answered Santos's prayer. He used a lady that he didn't know who had a hot potato, and God was glorified that day. Because Santos got to share with this lady about how he had prayed that God would sustain him and that he answered his prayer with this lady's potato. See, that's why we pray, so that God is glorified. God's got a plan, but he wants us to pray so we can be part of his plan. So why don't we pray? Well, I want to look at three excuses. Excuse number one, I'm too busy to pray. How often are your days flat out? You know, you go from one thing, you wake up, go from the next thing you know, you're in bed, and you haven't prayed at all to God. You haven't spoken to him at all the whole day. And we might tell ourselves that we're really just too busy to pray. But more likely is it that we just can't be bothered. You know, half an hour of prayer just seems way too long to fit into our busy lives. But somehow we manage to squeeze in half an hour or more of TV. Does this say something about how important prayer is to us? Now I know that some of you may truly be flat out. But I reckon none of us could have been more flat out than the Lord Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. Many times in the Gospels, we're told that Jesus stopped to take time out to pray, to speak to his Father. One example is in Mark 6. Now, Jesus has just fed 5,000 men. Now, if you've ever hosted a party, you know how busy it gets just feeding maybe 20, 50, or 100 people. But Jesus has just fed 5,000 men, and look what he does next. Verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up onto a mountainside to pray. Jesus has just hosted this massive picnic of fish and bread, and the next thing he does is pray. Jesus was never too busy to pray. So are you really too busy? Excuse number two. I can't pray till I've done all that I can. There's experts everywhere. Everywhere you look around. If you're sick, you go to the doctor. If you've got financial problems, you speak to a financial advisor. If you've got spiritual problems, you go and talk to your Christian friends. So often we go around and try and do things ourselves, and then when we've tried all that we can, we then pray to God. Does this sound familiar to you? I know I'm guilty of this. I mean, just this couple of weeks, I started reading a book on prayer. And then I was reminded that I should be praying as I prepare this talk. So easily, we put God as the backup plan after we've tried everything ourselves. Why do we do this? Do we forget that God is the all-powerful God, who wants us to speak to him so that he can fulfill his plans through our prayers? Why do we go to God last when we should be running to Him first? I think it's because in our sinfulness, we want to be independent rather than dependent on God. You see, we forget who God is. As followers of Jesus, we can call God Father. He is our Heavenly Father. And let's have a look at what our Heavenly Father does for us in Matthew 7, verses 9 and 10. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus makes a great point here. Children are dependent on their earthly parents. You know, my daughter Tiani's not going to ask me for bread and I'm going to give her a stone. So how much more will our heavenly dad give us what we need? We just need to ask him and depend on him to provide. God wants us to be dependent on him. And this doesn't mean that you shouldn't be going to doctors and talking to your Christian friends for advice. But is God our first port of call? Or is he our last? Excuse number three. I've prayed before and nothing happened. Unfortunately, we live in a world where tragic things happen all the time. Our loved ones get sick and don't get better. Our desire to be married or to have kids just seems like it's never going to happen. We've prayed at key junctions in our life, and apparently looks like they weren't answered. We tried praying, but found it painfully wanted and never tried again. Friends, if this is you, know that God knows and he feels your pain that you were or are going through. God hates to see his children suffer. Please be encouraged by Romans 8:28. And know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When we pray, God answers. And we're told here that he works all things for our good, for his children, for his people. It's just that sometimes it might not seem like it's for our good at the time. But we can't always know why tragic things happen to us or others. But we can know that somehow, God will be glorified through it. So we should keep praying and trust that God knows best. I take our dear brother, Shane Viglione, who is now with the Lord. Now, many of us would have been praying really hard that God would have healed him. But for whatever reason, that wasn't God's plan. But at his funeral, 800 people came. 800 people heard the truth about Jesus. The truth about Jesus that Shane so very much believed. That Jesus was his Lord and his Savior, that he was his King. That because of him, and only him, he could go to be forgiven of all the wrongs he had done. God was glorified that day through the humble life of Shane. His life testified to the glory of God. And who knows how many people down the track will become followers of Jesus because of what they heard at Shane's funeral. Look at Luke 18 with me. 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus knew that sometimes life would get really hard and that we'd want to give up praying. But that's not what Jesus wants for us. Friends, he wants us to always pray and to not give up, even when we don't understand the answers he gives to our prayers. Please don't give up praying. Trust that God knows best, even when it doesn't look like it. So to finish, I want to suggest some things to help us pray. Some things as individuals, and then some things as a church. So, three things to help us pray as individuals. Plan to pray. I reckon the number one reason why we don't pray much is because we don't plan to pray. Praying to God on the run is a great thing and an important thing to do, but we need to also set aside time to pray to God without life's distractions. It's like a husband and wife relationship. Yes, they can talk to each other throughout the day about how the day's been, you know, washing, chores, whatever it is, all those things. But for their relationship to grow, they need to set aside time and actually have conversations without those distractions. And it's the same with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We need to plan to pray. Find a time and a place that you can pray, and then pray. Get a routine happening. My wife, Kiralee, is excellent at this. Every day during our daughter's 20-minute sleep in the morning, Kiralee uses this time to read her Bible and pray, to read God's Word and pray. Now, this is one of the only times she gets a break during the whole day, and she uses it to pray and read God's Word. Friends, plan to pray and then actually pray. Number two, find ways to stop daydreaming. Do your prayers ever go something like this? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for another great day living in your wonderful creation. Oh man, the weather was so good yesterday. I wonder if I should have gone to the beach. Oh, wait. I praise you, God, that for the forgiveness that you have given me in your Son, Jesus. Oh, I wonder what the cricket score is. I wonder how we're doing. We're doing pretty bad at the moment. Oh, Father, please help me to love those around me the way you love them. Oh, what was that person's name that I met recently? They had a really interesting job. I wonder what I'll be doing in a couple of years' time. I wonder where I'd be living. You know, do these prayers remind you of how you pray sometimes? Now, I've found that praying out loud helps me not get distracted. Not get distracted as easily, anyway. It doesn't have to be so loud that others can hear you. It could be as simple as just moving your lips. Another way I've found helpful is writing my prayers down in a journal or diary. Danielle Quattromani shared with us in Bible study that she sometimes writes letters to God and then puts it in an envelope, seals it, and then staples it into her prayer diary. And now maybe this might help you not get distracted. It's so easy to get to start daydreaming if we don't practice ways to help us focus. So find ways to stop that daydreaming happening and use them. And number three, as individuals, we should use a prayer list. Having a prayer list might sound that it makes prayer really formal, but I have to say I've found it really, really helpful. I just started using one a couple of weeks ago, and I've found it really helps me kind of pray more specifically, especially for the people in my life, like my wife, Kiralee, our daughter, Tiani, and our extended family. It's helping me pray with perseverance, to keep praying for my loved ones and my friends who don't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, to keep praying those prayers that I haven't seen answered yet. And it also made me find the big prayer list that I had made at the beginning of this year when Ray challenged us to pray big and pray specific, I was humbled when I realized I hadn't really been praying those big, specific prayers much. If I really wanted them to happen, if they're really important to me and I want God to answer them, shouldn't I be bringing them before God more regularly? So that's where a prayer list helps. It helps us to pray specifically and to pray with perseverance. So let me encourage you, make a prayer list and use it. Okay, what about things to help us pray as a community of believers, as members of here at St. Albans MBM Church? Well, I want to suggest two more reasons. Firstly, get a prayer partner. Find someone the same sex as you and organize to regularly pray together. You know, this might be every week, every fortnight, every month, whatever it is, but make it regular. Make sure that your prayer partner is a guy if you're a guy and a girl if you're a girl. Because praying is an intimate business and we don't want to tempt ourselves unnecessarily. So if you have an open and honest prayer partner relationship, it'll be so beneficial for both of you. It will help you to keep accountable to those sins that you constantly struggle with. It'll help you to learn to be encouraging and empathetic as you share your lives together. And it will help you to learn how to lovingly rebuke when it's needed. All it takes is you asking someone to meet up regularly and to speak to our God, to speak to our dad. Let me encourage you, if you don't have a prayer partner yet, organize one tonight. Start to enjoy the great benefit it is to be sharing to our God and to each other about the things that are going on in our lives. And finally, this is the last one. Don't just talk, pray. One thing I'm really going to miss here at MBM as we move churches next year is all the great conversations that are happening around the traps, you know, whether it's before and after church, during Sunday or during the week. But I want to encourage you all to not just talk. You know, talking's great and talking about God's stuff is even better. But don't just stop at talking. I reckon we need to start a culture here at Sunday at 5 that's all about prayer. If your conversations are about good things, why don't you just thank God then and there? Praise Him for that. If you're having hard struggles in your life, pray for that person right then and there. Get alongside them. Ask God for help. And don't just say as someone talks to you, "Oh, I'll keep you in my prayers." Pray for them now. And then also during the week. Friends, let's live lives that are prayerful, both as individuals and as a church. Let's make prayer our way of life, because God's got a plan and He wants us to pray so we can be part of that plan. Please join me as I pray. Oh, our heavenly and loving Father, we come before You now as Your children. Father, we ask that You forgive us for our lack of prayer. Please help us to be more prayerful in our lives, to not neglect You. Thank You that You do answer our prayers and at the same time, Your plans are fulfilled. Please, Lord, help us trust You, especially when Your answers don't seem to fit so well with our plans. Help us to remember that in the end, it's all about You and Your glory. Thank You that we can speak to You and that You answer. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.